Morning, church. It's great to see you all. And a very warm welcome if you're worshipping with us for the first time. Trust that you've already felt the presence of God, and our prayer is that you will have gone out with an encounter with Jesus this morning. I brought my potato along, my mate Spud. When you see this next time, take courage, you're halfway through the sermon, okay? He's going to disappear for a while. But at some point in the middle of the sermon, he's going to make an appearance. Judy said, "What are you taking the potato church for?" I said, "Well, you never know, I might get peckish." The late pastor Haddon Robinson, almost every sermon he started with this phrase, "God, if these people knew about me what you know about me, they wouldn't listen to a word I said." I think everyone that occupies this pulpit or lectern would agree with that. As David said, "My sin is forever before me." I've also got a favourite expression, and it's usually tied up with if something goes wrong with the television or the computer or the car, or things don't work out quite like we expected them to, my catchphrase is always, "There has to be a reason." I may not know the reason, but there has to be a reason. There is a cause, there is an effect. And I want to tell you this morning that when it comes down to human behavior, there is always a reason why people behave the way that they do. Always a reason. Do you ever wonder why you behave the way that you do? Has it ever crossed your mind that there have been traits all the way through your life that you really don't know why you do them, but you do them? Do you find yourself tripping up time after time with the same temptations, the same failures, the endless promises that yesterday it's going to be different? Why do you still do the things you wish you didn't? Isn't that the crux of the whole of the reading that Phil has just read to us? You might be saying, just as Paul said, "I do not understand what I do," he says. "For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I can't carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, I do it." So what Paul is saying here, in other words, I know that there are things in life that are good. I agree with that. And I like to do what is good. And I've made up my mind that what is good is what I'm going to do. And then I find that I'm doing the complete opposite. And I would also agree that there are things that are bad. And I would never ever want to do what's bad. And I determine I will not do what is bad. And yet, I do it. Is there anybody else here with that problem? Are you brave enough to raise your hand? Who raises you? Oh, wonderful. A few didn't. I'll pray for you later. You see, it's a problem you've got. And it's a problem that I've got. And we see that it's a problem that Paul had too. So who was Paul describing here?
You might read this and think, oh, he's talking about when he wasn't a Christian. When he says, we know that the law is sinful in verse 14. We know that the law is spiritual, but I'm unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. Now that sounds very much like someone who isn't a Christian. If you were walking in town and you met someone and they told you straight, I'm unspiritual, I'm sold as a slave to sin, you'd say, well, you're not a Christian. Or maybe, is he talking about someone who is a Christian but who has slidden back on their faith? Because we could read in verse 21, so I find this law at work, although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. I see another law at work, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin. Yeah, that sounds like someone that once knew the Lord, but wasn't walking so closely now. Or is Paul talking about a normal Christian? I believe he is. Verse 18, he says, for I have the desire to do what is good. Now we know our own sinfulness, we would never have that desire. So yeah, we're talking about a Christian. In verse 22, for my inner being, I delight in God's law. In verse 25, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law. So therefore, we would accept here, and because you've all put your hands up, if you're saying this is a non-Christian talking, and you all go through this in your life, if we're thinking, well, maybe it's a Christian, but a backslidden Christian, we all put our hands up, well, no, that doesn't ring true either. It's speaking here about you and me, as a Christian. We're talking about a war that is continually taking place in our bodies. Interestingly, last week Nigel was sharing about the armour of Christ and the battle. Well, here's another battle. This is the inner battle that goes on every day of our lives. I'm sure every day it's a battle for you, it's a battle for me. And it's an inner battle. And yet, on the face of it, it looks like Paul is trying to excuse himself by saying in verse 17, it's no longer I myself who do it, but it's sin that's living in me. If I do what I do not want to do, it's no longer I who do it, but it's sin living in me. It's like if after the service, I came up to you, punched you in the face, and said, oh, sorry, it's not me, it's the sin. Is he using this as an excuse for his sin? Not at all. What we need to understand here, Paul is not speaking about the action of sin, but rather the principle of sin. He speaks of the law of sin. The law of sin at work within me. I'm sure we're all familiar with the law of physics. They govern our lives. They govern our world. Whether you're aware of them or not, the law of physics exists. Hence, do you reckon we're already? No, we're not halfway through yet. My potato. We're all